And we welcome you to the Friday, July the 11th, in the year of our Lord 2014 edition of Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio. And I'm all by myself today, Tom Baker, and it is Open Mic Friday, which means you can call me at, in St. Louis, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That's 821-0850 in St. Louis, and toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And while we're waiting for calls, and we encourage you to call early, because after a time, you can't get on anymore. We're at the end of the program. But I'm going to read a passage here, and it's from the Athanasian Creed. We had a question come in on that. From the Athanasian Creed, at his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done evil, those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. Okie doke. We have a call right now, so we're going to go to it. We just lost it. So if you're trying to call in again, and we'll try and get you. We're back already. Yes. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. Who's this?
Mike.
Yeah, Mike. How can I help you?
How you doing? Listen, I was listening to you talk Monday on the story of Jonah and the big fish, you know?
Yes.
Well, you know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that he was in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Well, the belly of a whale is an actual figure of speech. It has nothing to do with whales. It's a particular pattern of the stars that happens for 3 days. And somebody like drew a sketch where they think it looks like the belly of a whale, and that's why they say that. But the importance of it is that December 25th falls on, I think it's the middle of the 3 days, and that was the day that the ancient people knew that the days were actually getting longer and they had passed the winter solstice. So that's where that term belly of the whale comes from. It has nothing to do with the fish, so.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. And I've heard of theories like that. We're going to stick, though, with Jonah, where it doesn't say the word whale. I know in some translations they use the word whale, but the actual Hebrew word is a fish that God prepared. It could be a whale. I just don't know. But I appreciate those insights from Mike. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, I'm Tom Baker, and you are on the air. Who's this? Let me see. Are you there? Okay, let me try it once more. Hello, you're on the air?
Yes, hello, Pastor Tom Baker.
Who's this?
This is Neil Huntley.
Go ahead, Neil. How can I help you?
Okay, thank you. Thanks, my pleasure speaking to you. My good opportunity. Over the course of the week, I heard we're talking about God here, you know, kind of referring to, you know, there is no limit besides or beyond what we set in our rather small human mind. I mean, that's what I understand it, because there's no limit in the Trinity of God, how wonderful our Trinity of God is.
Right. In next week, the Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 44, where he says, I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? And, of course, nobody is like him. And he says, is there a God besides me? There is no rock, I know not any. Now, do you have a specific question here, Neil?
The miracle-working God that we have is just...
Yes.
And, well, another thing that, you know, I forget the pastor that was on speaking with you, but he was saying apply yourself to the best of your ability.
Well, I had two speakers this week, Mark Smith and Wes Reimnitz.
Yeah, I think it was Wes.
Okay, and yes, as a Christian, we do want to use the gifts that God has given us. It's called the area of sanctification, where we respond to what God has done us in our life of justification. I don't particularly call that phrase, but if he did use it, that would be the context in which he used it.
Oh, well, I was thinking maybe the week or two before, and I
okay.
Thank you for your good mind, Pastor Tom Baker. I mean, you're a man of the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Neil, and anybody else can call. Don't hesitate to do so. Our numbers are, because it's Open Mic Friday, 821-0850, and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And let me say that there's no comment or no question that's not worthy of at least a response by me. And that's why we have people who email us here at KFUO. And there was a individual who emailed me about the Athanasian Creed, where it says, at the coming of Jesus, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those that have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. And the question she had is, how is that possible? I thought we're saved by grace through faith, not on account of our works. And so we're going to deal with that question. But at this point, phone calls take priority. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, Kathy from St. Charles.
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi, Pastor. We've talked on and off in the past, and I have a son with special needs.
Yes, I recall.
I'm not calling about that, though. I'm calling about a wonderful show you had done where you had critiqued Billy Graham.
Yes.
And a sermon by him. And this is particularly important in my family. I was a little girl, and my mother watched a Billy Graham crusade, and she felt that she made a decision, although in the past she had been exposed to the gospel through being taken to church as a child and things like that, although she had never been baptized, that I'm aware of. But she struggled with her decision theology throughout her life, and always realized that basically what it was fire insurance, and her motivations, because she was looking to inside herself and her heart instead of looking out to what God had done for her. So she never had that assurance. So she would repeatedly ask Jesus into her heart day after day after day, several times a day, wanting to make sure that he was there, because it was based on her feeling, her emotion, her work, even though she didn't understand that he was there, because she came to faith through the Word and through God's work.
Yes.
She didn't have that understanding, so she didn't have that comfort.
You know, yesterday I had the privilege of doing a worship devotion at a retirement home, and there were a number of people there. And then when I got, we had just sung Blessed Assurance. So I said to them, well, you know, what assurance do we have? And I asked them this question, how do you know that your sins have been forgiven? And one lady really hit it on the head. She said, well, the Bible tells me so. And another lady said, well, Jesus died on the cross. And the point I was making is we don't have to make any decision or anything to be sure our sins are forgiven, because they were forgiven on Good Friday, even before we were born.
Right.
So we talk about that as the assurance, and that way you don't have to be inviting Christ into your heart every day to try and feel assured that your sins are forgiven. He forgave them, the words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing.
Yeah, and that is such a comfort. That's one of the, we came to the Lutheran faith for listening to, you know, Lutheran radio, and one of the things that we find is so wonderful about the Lutheran faith is that since it teaches Scripture accurately, you have that comfort that you don't have in other Christian faiths, because they don't allow you to have the comfort because of the way they incorrectly teach Scripture.
You see, they're trying to answer this question, Kathy, and I'm a theologian, so I need to understand them. Why are some people saved and others aren't? They just can't abide by the fact that Jesus, if you're saved, Jesus gets all the credit, and if you go to hell, you get all the blame. So they have to find something in the person, either a good work or penance or praying a lot or worshiping or inviting Christ into their heart. And then they can understand how infants are guilty, even though they will punish their children, you know, as they're growing up, and as though God, you know, doesn't regard children as sinners. So this is really the problem. They're trying to answer the question why some are saved and others aren't, and the answer they give is unbiblical.
Yes, and also, too, like you were saying, that they can't understand how infants can be guilty, yet I have a father-in-law who was raised Southern Baptist, and so he really struggled with our son and all of his issues and why God would do that to him, because he's innocent. But he doesn't understand. He was conceived, as the Scripture says, born and conceived in sin, and so he isn't innocent.
Yes, but the issues your son is having are not necessarily because of sin.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
It's because of the living in a fallen world.
Well said, yes.
Because we're all affected by his chromosomal defect occurred at conception.
Yes.
But, you know, it wasn't because of any type of, like, drug abuse or alcohol misuse or anything like that.
Yeah, some conditions we have are due to our sin, like some people who get AIDS due to unprotected illegal sex, immoral sex.
Right.
But then there are, because we're living in a fallen world, nobody is born perfect.
Right.
And I'll tell you, and I've said this to you before, God must think of you and your husband as very special people to permit you to have such a son, because he's only going to give such a child to people that is not beyond their temptation and also promises never to leave you nor forsake you. And you know how your son has also become a really help in members of the congregation beginning to understand more and more how such children should be treated.
Well, that's true. But Nathan's name means special gift from God. We picked his name before we were aware that there was a problem.
Yes.
And we picked it like 2 weeks before we had heard from the doctor that there might be a problem in utero.
Yeah.
We did not choose to abort. We did have genetic counseling. And then the thing that I found so baffling was not only did he have the chromosomal defect, but then he had all these breathing problems. Then he has severe autism. It just seemed to go on and on. I felt like I needed to alphabetize everything.
Yes, I know. But I do appreciate your call, and particularly the Billy Graham critique.
And then real quick on the Billy Graham thing, how do I get a transcript of that? Because I recently had a discussion with my father about this, and he actually got very upset with me because I didn't want to listen to a Billy Graham sermon.
Okay, all you do now, and anybody can do this, is you email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com, mm-hmm. and I will send you a free copy of the PowerPoint that I have here.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And, anybody can receive that Billy Graham sermon. Just Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. And we keep on going down the line. Let's talk to John. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
I was watching TV, and it's a popular TV station, Christian.
Uh-huh.
But a youth pastor made a comment on a program, and he said that, you know, people don't realize that the Bible is really only 1% salvific, and 99% tells us how to live for God. Now, he says he's a Christian, but he goes in reference to salvation. And I would, you know, that's obviously not a proper distinction between law and gospel, but...
Well, it also disagrees with Jesus, who says the whole Bible talks about him.
Yeah.
So, I mean... We're not talking about Jesus as an example. That's what this youth pastor would understand. But rather instead, for example, he probably thinks that the Sermon on the Mount is telling us how to live without realizing that if you carefully read the Sermon on the Mount, nobody ever lives that way. It's impossible to live that way. And so the key verse in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus saying, I did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came to fulfill them, which also means fulfilling the law perfectly, and then exchanging your sin for his righteousness. So the whole Sermon on the Mount is totally about Jesus and justification and salvation. It's not about how we are to live.
Amen. But, you know, the thing is that teaching is so prevalent. But that's why, you know, I praise God for TV programs like yours and praise, you know, God for KFUO radio station as a whole. And, you know...
Well, I certainly appreciate this, John. And by the way, I got your letter, and we are praying for you and your wife, and we pray that you'll come to a God-pleasing decision. And also on some of the matters that you're still up in the air about, I pray that you'll do more study on that, too.
Oh, we most certainly will.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
God bless. Thank you so much for calling. And that was John, and anybody else can call. Our lines are open right now at 821-0850. That's for those in the St. Louis area. And anybody toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. And because we're running out of time, I'm just going to hold off on the calls for a moment until I answer this question from this lady as to how can we confess in the Athanasian Creed that those who have done good will enter eternal life and those who have done evil into eternal fire. You know that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is not the only Lutheran church in the country. There's a number of them. There's about 12 of them. Some denominations are smaller with only a few congregations. The largest one is called the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and it became large because two other Lutheran denominations joined the ALC, American Lutheran Church, and the LCA, Lutheran Church of America. Now, they're very, very liberal, and they once had an article, believe it or not, in their official newspaper criticizing the Athanasian Creed. I don't know. It was even a pastor who wrote it, if I recall, that the idea that on Judgment Day, those who have done good will enter into eternal life and those who have done evil into eternal fire. And so the article was criticizing what the creed says. And if you know anything about the ELCA, they criticize even what the Bible says about abortion, homosexuality, women ordination, and they just ignore it. Well, you can tell that whoever did this has no training in the Bible, or the training in the Bible he doesn't understand, because this statement from the Athanasian Creed is a quote from the Bible. It's a quote from the Bible? Where? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what, and you would think that it would say, for what he believes. No, for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, I can understand that if you're trained in an ELCA seminary, you're not going to understand law or gospel. You're not going to understand Christianity properly either. I can understand that. But not to know that this was a Bible verse. But how do we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod understand this Bible verse and the Athanasian Creed in light of the fact that one of our favorite verses would be the Ephesians passage, we're saved by grace through faith, not on account of works, lest anyone should boast? Well, I'll tell you. On Judgment Day, just look at Matthew 25. the sheep and the goats. Why are the sheep going to heaven? It sounds like they're going to heaven because of all the good works they did. Giving food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, taking care of individuals, visiting the imprisoned. And so, what does this mean? Well, you see, it's one thing to say that good works are the reason you're going to heaven. It's another thing to say that good works are the evidence God is looking for to see whether you are already a Christian. And in fact, it's improper almost to call them good works, because even an atheist can do a good work. He can keep the speed limit. He can pay taxes. Well, what do we mean by the good works that God is looking for? We're really talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the difference between a good work and a fruit of the Holy Spirit? A good work is done out of a selfish reason. You stay under the speed limit because you see a policeman, you don't want to get a ticket. A fruit of the Holy Spirit is done out of love for Jesus Christ. Now, you never do a good work or a fruit of the Holy Spirit without dual motivation. Your new man always has proper motivation. Your old Adam always has improper motivation. So when I preach a sermon, the new man really wants people to hear what I have been hearing from God in the Bible. It helped me. It's going to help them. That's the new man. The old man is standing in the pulpit saying, boy, if I do a good sermon, maybe more people will listen to my radio program. See, that's selfish reason. Now, all my selfish reasons are forgiven in the blood of Christ. On Judgment Day, God is going to be looking for fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because only those who are saved, who believe in Jesus Christ, can have a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, just like the sheep did in Matthew 25, so that we may receive what is due and what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, guess what? God is going to find in the Christian much good, fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the Christian reaction to that, if you remember the sheep, when do we do these things? We can't remember all this that you tell us about. Whatever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. So the Bible is pretty clear, whether you read the Sermon on the Mount or anything. To get to heaven, you must be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. In fact, you can't even go to the Lord's Supper unless you are a sinless saint in God's eyes. Not in your eyes, because in your eyes, you see your sin so much that you'll never consider yourself sinless. But God considers you sinless because your sins of commission have been taken care of by Jesus dying for the penalty for them. That's why he died on the cross. And your sins of omission are taken care of by being dressed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. So, if you ever see me preaching, I wear a cassock, which is dark, and a surplus, which is light. The cassock stands for sin. The surplus stands for God's righteousness in which he has dressed me. So this is very important to understand, that the Athanasian Creed is absolutely correct, that on Judgment Day, God is going to look at your works, whether good or evil. And for the Christian, you are going to have a ton of fruit of the Holy Spirit, of which you were even unaware. Because a lot of times you just simply, because of the Holy Spirit in you, act appropriately, doing good works for others out of love for Jesus Christ. And you're not even aware of it sometimes. That's why this is a wonderful phrase, and how law and gospel helps us to understand. Nobody goes to heaven by works of the law that they have done apart from Jesus Christ. But everybody who believes in Jesus Christ will go to heaven because of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is really good news. And it's a good news that I pray that the person who wrote in about this will come to understand that you do not have to fear God at all. You can be absolutely assured, or as We said in the devotion yesterday with those at the retirement center, blessed assurance is theirs. And why is it theirs? It's theirs because God has given them the greatest gift that can ever be given, the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. On our next long gospel, which will be Monday, we're going to be taking a look at the lessons for the following Sunday. And you'll all remember Jesus, the sower, sowing seed. So we all know that Jesus is the sower, but what is a seed? If you think that the seed is the word of God in that Matthew passage, you're going to get a big surprise on Monday. The seed is not the word of God. And we'll explain that on Monday. In the meantime, we pray that you have a wonderful worship service, a law and gospel sermon, as well as going to Bible study, because you need to get your head to catch up to your heart. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks for listening to Law and Gospel. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.